Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Prize Bull. Turn to Leviticus chapter 1. We will kind of move left to right like we normally do, but we'll jump around a little bit. So Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. Now the Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tabernacle of meeting, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the livestock, of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. Okay, so an offering. Why was this system put in place? Why did they have to bring livestock, all this stuff to the temple? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay, so you say, well, that's crazy, and I don't get it, and I don't like it, and I don't agree with that. You know what? No one's asking you what you think. You say, well, that's a little cocky and rude, isn't it? No, you start with the scriptures, not with what you think. This is what God came up with. You say, well, I don't like it. He didn't ask any of us what we liked. He said, this is how it works. This is how it's set up. And the people of Israel figured that out. He said, you know, sin, bring an offering. They brought the offering. So in this case, a burnt sacrifice, you bring a male without blemish. A bull comes, and that's what's going to be killed. Now, very simply put, here is why we sin as Christians on this side of the cross so casually, because we don't understand the cost completely. Because if you lived back then and you screwed up, you committed a sin and you knew you had sinned and you thought, okay, the only way for this to be fixed is for me to take one of my prize bull, let's say, and take it down to the temple and I'm going to stand there and they're going to kill my bull because of something I've done. You say, wow, I'm glad I don't live back then. We can just live like hell and it doesn't matter. Except for the fact that now it's not some bull that's died that fixes it. It's Jesus and his blood that is shed, and we'll see this in the New Testament, that makes it possible for us to sin so casually, confess so casually, and go about our life like nothing happened. Now keep reading. Shall offer his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. But look at this verse 4. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. He shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the bull and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now, this is a great picture to me. So you have this innocent animal, this dumb animal, basically, that didn't do anything. And Jesus is referred to as a sheep, just dumb before it shears. Like you say, well, dumb sheep, why don't you do something? Why don't you stop it? Because if he had stopped it, we wouldn't have life. So this poor animal, because someone sinned, then the person who committed the sin puts their hand on the head of the animal and basically says to God, I am transferring my screw up, my sin to this animal, and I'm going to let this animal die in my place. You say, well, that's nuts. It's only nuts if you don't believe in this stuff. And when you get to the New Testament, it's as if you go to Jesus and you say to him, Lord Jesus, I can't carry this anymore. I get that I have sinned. I have screwed my life up, and the consequences are on me. So I come to you, and as it were, I'm going to put my hands on your head, and I am asking that my sin be passed to you. And then you're going to die and take care of my sin. That's the cross. So you can't be casual about this. Now, can you sin the more that grace may abound? The book talks about that, but then it says, God forbid. That's not what this is about. Keep reading here. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. The sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire on the altar and lay the wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat in order and on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and its legs with water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Sacrifice is a sweet thing to the Lord. and his son had to die. It is almost impossible to articulate and communicate what happened when Jesus died on that cross. The end, we'll see in Hebrews in a minute, the end of all this slaughter, because one sacrifice shows up that can do it. It's almost too easy for us. Go to Hebrews chapter 9, New Testament. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6. Now, when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect in regard to the conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks, various washings, and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as high priest of good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So if you think a bull or a calf or some goat can pull it off and do the trick and satisfy God, imagine what his own son shedding his blood, offering without spot to God. Now, you say, well, are you referring to Jesus as a prize bull? He's a prize, but not a prize bull. He is the prize sacrifice, though, that we all needed. Now, let me just say this, again, these things parenthetically. I understand if you're here or somewhere beyond, you go, wow, what are you talking about? All this blood stuff and gory and Jesus dying in his blood. You can't become a Christian without the blood of Jesus. Okay, so the reason I talk about it, the reason it's in the scripture, the reason we read about it is because it's essential. And you who say, well, I just don't get it. I don't think this blood makes all that difference. Then I need a volunteer and a knife. Okay, so I'm not gonna change anything about you. I'm just gonna make a little incision somewhere and we're just gonna drain all the blood out of you and see how that works out for you. You say that blood doesn't matter. They call it lifeblood for a reason, because without blood, you have no life. Something goes wrong in your blood, you're in trouble. You lose too much blood, you're dead. So blood is where the life is that moves through our body. So why would it be so surprising that the blood of Jesus has so much power? Because it's his blood that gives us life, eternal life, what we need. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. You don't have to keep sacrificing if the sacrifice works. For the worshipers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. See, to appease God, it looks like it worked for a while. Yeah, but the consciousness of sin, the awareness of sin never went away. Here's what freaked me completely out. When Claude helped me specifically in this case, helped me understand that once I had confessed my sin, capital S, that I am a sinner, and then in that relationship with God, once I am in his family, when I sin, I go to him and say, I confess my sins, and I know you're faithful and just to forgive me. I don't have to keep rehashing this with God forever. Stop bringing up the past. You're ruining your future. God does not play that game. What else can he do? He shed his own blood to atone for your sin. It's over. Yeah, but I screwed up back in 74. You're screwing up again now by bringing up 74. Okay, given that all that has been provided and done, we talked about the prize bull. Now we're going to talk about prize bull. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, this is a personal frustration because of my own issues and a huge frustration because of so much time spent with individuals, Christians, some non-Christians, but especially Christians, who will just not get on with it. Read 1 Corinthians 9, jump in at verse 19 with me. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as without law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Okay, so what does that involve? That means you cannot think about yourself all the time. You get in certain situations with certain people, you say, well, that sounds like a chameleon. No, it means adapting, adjusting, and if you need to give something up, let's say you're comfortable with drinking wine or whatever your life, and you're around a lot of people who are alcoholics, and the Holy Spirit says, quit drinking, you're screwing these people up. You go, yes, sir. You say, but I don't think there's anything wrong with drinking wine. I didn't ask you about that. Who cares about that? It's not about that. It's about somebody else. Right. Well, I'm comfortable doing this. I'm comfortable doing that. Ask the Holy Spirit what he's comfortable doing because of the people you're around. Because you're trying to reach the people around you, right? No, I want to be happy. I don't care about these people. And that's what it looks like. Zero sensitivity, no effort to reach anybody. Think about somebody else for a second. Keep reading. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the what? The prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. What? The prize. Now here's my question. Why are you not going to win the prize? Because you got prize bull full of excuses. Well, I could do that, but I'm just too lazy or I'm just, you know. What is your prize excuse? This is what you're sitting on. And you intend to sit on it for the rest of your life and miss the race, miss the prize. You don't react to everything that happens to you. You respond, but if you don't know there is a prize and you don't keep your eyes on the prize, then you get caught up and baited into stupid situations that cost you the whole race. Keep reading. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. He said, well, what if I'm not the fastest? Stop comparing yourself to everyone else. Just run to win the race. Do your best. Let me tell you something about races. You can't even lose a race if you don't finish a race. You can quit. That ain't finishing. I'd rather finish a race in last place than quit a race and never finish it. Run the race in a way that you may obtain the prize. You have to finish it to win it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, I don't read you a lot of Greek stuff here, but let me read you what this word temperate means. To exercise self-restraint in diet and chastity can apply to those things. And the word used here comes from another word that means strong in a thing, self-controlled. You make choices every day. So let's say you want to lose 30 pounds. How are you going to lose 30 pounds? The guy that helps me the other day said, you're working out good. That's about 30% of the equation. You know what the rest of it is? Intake. So if you say you want something, you've set some prize up, and you're not reaching your prize, it's not complicated. You're making choices all along the way every day that don't contribute to you winning the prize. This is not complicated. I have never met anyone yet who goes, wow, you won't believe what happened to me. I won an Olympic gold medal. I don't know how it happened. I was at this right place at the right time. Like what? It doesn't happen. You have to deny yourself. You have to sacrifice. You have to keep moving in a direction and keep your eyes on the prize or you get distracted. 1 Corinthians 9, finish this. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. I read you that definition in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. These guys that win the crown and run the race to get the wreath, it's a perishable. It'll rot. It'll go away. But I'm running the race for an imperishable. This will never go away. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it unto subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Telling everybody else how to run the race? Why don't you run the race that way? Now Philippians 3. And I love the honesty of the scriptures. Paul wrote what we just read in Corinthians. He wrote this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. So God gets a hold of your life. You need to get a hold of why he's gotten a hold of you. He says, I got a race for you to run. I'm busy. That's going to be your prize bull. Well, I got other things I'm chasing. What are you chasing? And if you catch it, so what? So what? If it's not what he has for you, you cannot keep thinking, well, if I pull out, if I pull away, if I quit, it'll all be okay. God will get it done without me. That's not his intention, or he wouldn't have called you and gotten a hold of you in the first place. You don't pick teams. You know, you go, okay, I picked so-and-so. And then the guy goes and sits down in the bleachers. Like, dude, what are you doing? I picked you to play, not sit on the bench. Oh, I just want to be on your team. I don't want to play. It doesn't make any sense. Pick me, God, pick me. And then he picks you and you won't get in the game. Get in the game. Oh, but I did something back in 74. I mean, whatever, you know. Listen to me. If you've killed somebody, you've raped somebody, you molested a child, you say, well, those would all be disqualifiers, wouldn't they? Not if they can be forgiven. I had an abortion. I flipped off a preacher. I mean, that's happened to me before. So that's all you got? And you're going to sit on your butt the rest of your life waiting for Jesus to come. And then he's going to go, okay, so tell me what happened. Well, remember, you know, that's why, that's what happened. Like, really? That's you're going to be your prize bull? That's your excuse for why I couldn't use you? Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. I'm not saying I figured all that arrived, but one thing I am doing and I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. You cannot live in the past and live today and have a future. You're stuck. Enough of the past. I press toward the goal for what? You press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I've got my eyes on the finish line. That's not what I'm encouraging you. The prize is not the finish line. Crossing the finish line is what gets you to the prize. Even in a horse race, a horse crosses the line, but what's the big deal? It's those crazy flowers draped over its body. It's that trophy. That's the prize. You say, yeah, but he won the race. But that was a step in getting the prize they were after. I'm always fascinated by sporting events. So much sacrifice, races, cross the finish line, wrestling matches, beat everybody else. Everything's over. The sacrifice and the winning even is over. And then there's the ceremony. And it's all about the ceremony where someone bows their head and a piece of ribbon and a piece of metal is draped around their neck or a wreath or a crown or a trophy. Something is presented and that's what they were after. So you run the race, you finish the race, but that's not, look what he says. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. And then he's saying, follow me. Walk as I walk, but note who. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross. The enemies of the cross of Christ. And then he talks about their prize bull, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Does that describe your life? What if those verses were read at your funeral? We're here to celebrate Billy Bob. And let's read some verses about Billy Bob. He was an enemy of the cross of Christ. His end was destruction. His God was his belly, and his glory was his shame. He set his mind on earthly things. You say, well, who would say that about somebody at a funeral? Nobody's got the guts sometimes, but that's the truth. He said, well, when I die, that may be true, but they'll say nice things. They'll have to lie. And half the people, if they said nice things, would go, am I sure I'm at the right funeral? You know, sometimes they leave the box open just to make sure you're at the right funeral. Yeah, that's him, but I don't know who. This guy must not have known him. Are those your excuses? Now, it takes a lot of faith to move down the road and see what's at stake here. You say, well, I'm doing okay. This is not about doing okay. This is not going out for a run. This is running a race. This is with a finish line, a prize in mind. And you can always tell the people who are serious about it because they win. They accomplish the goal, the target. See, I can talk all I want to about losing 30 pounds, but sooner or later, if I do that, you will know that. It will be obvious. So you say, well, what kind of crazy person would stand up publicly and say something about losing 30 pounds? If you don't do it, you're going to look stupid. I already look stupid. Not taking care of myself. You say, but to do what you're describing, it's going to cost me. It's going to cost you if you don't do what I'm describing. Honestly, I hate working out. I have muscles in my left arm right here. I didn't know I had, I think I need to have them removed. They hurt so bad. Because they couldn't hurt anymore if they were removed. Why? Because he's got me doing these things all contorted. And when am I ever going to do this in my life but punching you in the nose, you know? I don't want to do this stuff. You say, then why do you do it? Because of the prize. Because of the goal. Because of what I'm after. If you're after Jesus, your life will reflect that. You just won't do certain things. You won't go certain places. I'm so troubled and disturbed, and it's so disconcerting to hear about young athletes, football players, who end up in strip clubs and bars, punch some cop or whatever happens, smoke some weed, fail the drug test, and miss the opportunity of their lifetime. You don't do that kind of stuff with your eyes on the prize. You say no to certain things because you don't want to miss out. And until you get in the game, you have no idea what you're missing out on and how you're not being in the game impacts so many other people who are depending on you.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Let's read 2 Timothy 4, and then I'll be done. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, same guy, Paul. He says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knows he'll be dead soon. I have fought the good fight. He didn't say he was in a good fight. He said he's fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Here's where it's worth it. And I don't know how this goes down. I don't know who makes the crowns. I don't know if there's a warehouse in heaven full of them, but I want one of them for me. And whatever this is, when Jesus himself takes that crown and sets it on your head, that's a moment. You say, but what about the race? It'll make all the race, all the sacrifice, all the trouble worthwhile when your king, your savior, puts a crown on your head. And then you have something to put at his feet. And then it'll all make sense. But you know what it takes for all that to work? Faith. You cannot live just here and now. You have to see beyond the starry skies. You have to figure out what it means to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. You say it's hard. It's going to be hard doing it your way too.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.